We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. It was a number of years ago that there was a lady in my congregation, her husband and she lost an infant child that was about 2 months old. The husband came to me 1 month after the funeral and said, "Pastor, something is wrong. Every day my wife drops off the other child at the school, and on her way back home, she stops at the grave. She keeps going back to the grave, and she won't stop going back to the grave. And I've talked to her about it, and nothing has changed. Will you talk with her?" The woman was not done grieving yet. She had carried the child. The child was her. When a child is born and is part of you, and suddenly it is taken away, it's easier than a man who just gets in the car and starts the motor and drives away from the cemetery. She was not done grieving, and she kept going back to the grave. I thought about her when I thought about Easter this year and about the fact that we keep going back to the grave and how important it is to go back to the grave. To go back to the grave of Jesus, because there the reality of life kind of takes form again, and all the other things about which we think that are so important as Americans start fading into the existence. They start fading into the background where they ought to be, where life should really be, focused on this living Lord. For we live in a society that is much more television-oriented than it is Christ-oriented. And even the Easter season itself and the celebration can take on this whoop rather than a time of serious reflection on death and life. It's not about the little machine that lights up the gummy worm just as the child puts it into their mouth that they got out of the Easter basket. It's about death. And that's far more serious than our society gives it, and very often that we give it. We are united with him by baptism into death. This whole thing doesn't just have to do with him and his grave. It has something to do with us. And that cuts through that television mentality to bring us where we go back to the grave, and it's important to go back and not to leave so quickly. I was at the Chesterfield Athletic Club the other day, and there was a lady, a slightly pudgy lady, with gold, longly dangling earrings, doing her workout, being led by a personal trainer who charges by the hour, from machine to exercise machine. But this was more than an exercise. The lady was talking incessantly, and it was kind of a cathartic social event. She talked about the fact that, "You know, when I was 50, it was okay because I still looked okay. But now that I'm 60 and I look in the mirror, it just doesn't look that great." She was exasperated about this process we called living, which is far different than this television mentality which says, "Don't just live, look young." And the highest compliment you can receive, ma'am, is for somebody to say, "Well, you don't look 60, as though somehow one should not pass through life with a head held up high and thanking God for each day of beauty. Last year, there were no less than 10 million plastic surgeries in this great country of ours. 9 million for women, 1 million for men, and 250,000 for children who need corrective surgery. But they weren't men, they weren't done for people over 60. The great majority of them were all done with people who were 34 to 50. We have to be better than how we really look. And if there is one droop or one sag or too much fat here or over there, or we need more there, and then we say, we will go have it done because we can afford it. And we want to look just like the people on the television set. In fact, this television set has given us a mentality that is far beyond our understanding or our comprehension of it. Why are baptisms down in the United States of America, but plastic surgeries are up? Baptisms are down according to U.S. Day Today. Why, baptisms have slid in Roman Catholicism, baptism have slid among the Lutherans and the Methodists, and baptisms have slid among all denominations. Because on television, you never see a baptism. You see people preaching decision theology, but unless you are watching the Roman Catholic service on the day after Holy Saturday, you just don't see any baptisms. It's decision theology. It's American. It's the way we are. It's the idea of what is there and what can we promote that takes over true theology. It says, as Luther says, you know, if you're not careful, you just keep walking backwards and suddenly you realize you've stumbled into your own grave. So we go back to the grave of Jesus to again come back to our senses. What is this thing all about anyway? And we find that he's not there. He was our living, he was our dead Lord Jesus, and now he's our living Lord Jesus, but he's not there. But where is he? We have to go back to the other grave. The other grave is the baptismal font, the place where the real grave for us is, not his death, but our death, where we're united with him by baptism into death itself, going right into the arms of death before physically it happens, marching right into it along with Jesus at our side and with Jesus and with his death as our death. Death to sin and death to life and death to all that is means what it is to be a human being, except to be with Jesus, except to know his death as our death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. And that's our grave, that font, wherever it is, that hospital room, wherever the pastor came and baptized us, that place, whether it be at a lake or a graveside or a bedside, you see. Go back. And we don't just go back once. We go back again and again and again to the grave. And like the lady who just doesn't want to leave this child in the ground, we keep going back because we realize it's the only thing that somehow gives us solace, comfort, hope, peace, understanding about this living Lord Jesus who is now part of our life. He has overcome death. And because he has overcome death for us, the big problems of life are now over. But this death continues on within our own hearts. This death to sin, that every day now we keep going back to this grave, that we may die to all the things that keep us that baptism from happening. That we don't resist baptism, but that we continue to let it happen among us. Death to poor moral boundaries. Death to being a manipulative person. Death to law-centered attitudes. Death to pride. Death to lackluster study. Death to the favorite sin that doesn't go away. Death to being enamored with the television world and wanting to be just like those people instead of God's people. Death to being insensitive to the brother or the sister. Death to the evil on the internet. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law. You are under grace. And that's what baptism is all about. If you're not under law, if we're not under law, we're under grace, but that means death to sin. And going back with this continual repentance and struggling against sin and not giving up with that struggle. For this is now our new way of life. We keep going back to the grave, not his grave, but our grave, to live in forgiveness and to obtain victory over sin. And Easter is always about going back where the struggle is, being plunged under the water again, fighting our sins, conquering some, overcoming many, but never giving up on the rest. And when life gets stale, when the freshness and vibrancy are gone, going to private confession to again plunge under and make it real. I have lived as if God did not matter and as if I mattered most. Easter is for us that going back, that we may walk away from that grave too, We were not only buried with Christ by baptism into death, but he has been raised, and now we've been united with him, and that we may walk in newness of life, the writer says. It's not about staying at the grave. It's about going back to the grave so that we can walk away from it, just as Jesus walked out of his. For just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, just as he walked out of his grave, so we too walk away from the grave. Every day we leave the grave. We go back to the grave and plunge one more time, and we walk away from the grave. And newness of life, not the same old, same old. But there is forgiveness in you, O God, that you may be feared. There is forgiveness in that grave where we took the vow of all vows, I will renounce Satan and all his works and all his ways, and I'll keep doing it. And I will believe in God the Father, because I do believe in God the Father who made heaven and earth, and God the Son who has been raised up, and the Holy Spirit who keeps working on me, sinner though I am. And now life becomes a breath of fresh air as one is fully and freely forgiven and thinks and tries to comprehend what that really means for living. Why, the big problems are already over. No sense buying a grave. I may not even need it anyway. The big problems are done. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, that other one. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Ha, ha, ha. We laugh at it. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, and that's the whoop. That's living with a living Lord Jesus. Because sin has been overcome, for he was delivered for a death for our sins, but he was raised again for our justification, and nothing can stop us now. You know, once Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I think because of our television mentality, we go back to that passage and says, well, he'll help us pay the bills. And I think we missed it again. It's living in forgiveness. And living in a community that believes that death is no more and that sin is just something we have to put up with but has been overcome. And that the Christian community where forgiveness abounds is one of the greatest communities on the face of the earth, because we don't have to walk on eggshells anymore. You forgive me and I forgive you, and we not only count on it, we take it for granted and we just walk away. Walk away from the grave in newness of life. As a forgiven woman or a forgiven man, walk away from the grave, because we're free, not just bound to sin or bound to death or bound to anyone or anything. Because Christ is not in his own grave. Why? He was there at my grave and I didn't realize it all along. Walk away from the grave, O lady who mourns her child. The real grave is not here. It's just the child in the dirt. The real grave was where the water was poured on that baby, and that baby met Jesus. Go to that grave. Go there where the living Lord is. Go back to your own grave where the living Lord is. Let that living Lord lead you and forgive you and uplift you and show you this great power over death and the beauty of having you in his holy kingdom and the life of forgiveness that belongs to you as a believer. For Jesus is not waiting for you here, lady, as you drive home. He's waiting for you there at the other grave. And he will give you the power to walk away in a new life. And he did. And she did. And that's Easter.